Hi, my name's I'm a nervous addict. It's nice to be here. Sounds weird. But I've done one of these recorded ones before, and when I did that, it occurred to me that when I first started taking drugs, I thought this will lead to being in front of a microphone, being recorded in front of an audience in central London on a weekend, and you know, it's happened. You know, not the way that I've planned. You know, I'm not a natural public speaker. My head would like me to believe I am, but I'm not. I'm quite nervous. You know, my drug using wasn't rock and roll. There wasn't sort of Rolls Royces and swimming pools and TVs out of windows and stuff. My drug using was pretty sad and lonely. And messy, and quite pathetic as well. But it's really good to be here. I've been clean since February the 14th, 2007, which is a big deal for me. I have a sponsor, and my sponsor has a sponsor, and my sponsor's sponsor has a sponsor, and I read literature, and you know, I really enjoy being clean today. And that last bit, I never thought I could say that. I thought you know, being clean would be boring and just unthinkable. But my life is much more diverse and interesting than it was when I was using, especially by the end. So I guess I should talk about my drug use in a bit. I picked up when I was 11. I started drinking because that was the easiest thing to get, and then I discovered like puff, and I preferred puff because it was quicker, but I liked what it did to me as well, because, you know, up until that point, I'd been a really kind of nervous kid. I was sort of painfully shy around the opposite sex, and I was always sort of questioning myself, and I was wondering about my sexual identity and sort of what I'm into, what I'm not into. And all that stuff seemed to sort of go away when I started taking drugs. And you know, it wasn't shit from the beginning. It was brilliant, actually. You know, especially like when I discovered E, it was like a love affair. You know, like Glastonbury on ecstasy was just unreal. And you know, I treasure those memories, and I don't regret them either. You know, I was. My drug taking, I can see now, became drug using, and I seem to sort of cross an invisible line, because and then I got into other drugs. And when I was 19, I started to, you know, I got into, you know, crack and smack and all that stuff. And you know, I'd had sort of, you know, it wasn't drug pushes that got me, and I'd seen Grange Hill, and I knew about Just Say No and all that stuff, but you know, it didn't. I was very willful and arrogant, and I thought that I could control this thing. But the disease sort of progressed really quickly in me, and you know, I was in services before my 21st birthday, and it was, but you know, at that point in my life, I had it in my head that it was about, drug addiction was about the drugs, and it was about words like sort of dependence and withdrawal and maintenance and that stuff, and I thought if I could just avoid that drug, taking it in that way, I'd be okay. but I couldn't. It got to a point where I was 25, and I couldn't get a day clean, and you know, I couldn't get off Holloway Road, actually. My life was so small, my life revolved around like chemists and the hospital and the back of Holloway Odeon and my mum's, really, and that was it. And you know, in the literature it talks about how the disease affects us sort of in mentally and physically and spiritually, and I just remember in all those areas I was ruined, you know. Mentally I was unwell, I was hearing voices, I was talking to myself in the street, I was psychotic, you know. And I know now it was drug psychosis. Physically I was active addiction that just cut me to ribbons. I was, you know, I won't go into my war stories because it didn't keep me clean, so it won't keep you guys clean. But, you know, it was X-rated using, I suppose. And but spiritually, that was the worst bit for me, you know. It was, you know, the love affair was over, and I was heartbroken. I was thinking about killing myself, but I was scared to do that. And it just seemed easier to just try and continue using. And it's, you know, my heart's, I can feel it in my chest now, how whenever I remember that stuff, you know, it's hard going back there. But yeah. So what happened then is I got taken into services, and you know, they saved my life because physically I was very unwell. I had lots of people involved in my life by that point, professionals, you know, too many professionals looking back, you know. And they gave me lots of advice, you know. Some of it was good advice, some of it was a bit weird, you know, like drinking detox tea and stuff like that, which I didn't work, if anyone's got it. They said go try meeting, try doing NA. And so I did, and it was brilliant. I remember my first meeting vividly, and I remember people who were there. I remember little details about the woman who did the share. You know, there are people in this room tonight who were there, and I was impressed. I was kind of seduced, I suppose, by the power that was in that room, and. I started just to attend loads and loads of meetings, and it was great, and then it was kind of really good. But what I was getting was, I was getting relief when I was there and relief afterwards, but I was going home by myself, and I was still sort of left by myself, and I was thinking about drugs quite a lot. And you know, by that point I had a job, and I had a home, and I had sort of material stuff, but you know, the I was getting more and more anxious and scared. You know, I think my pride was keeping me clean, because there was a lot of people sort of who were saying, you know, you won't stay clean, you never did, and I didn't want to sort of have the, you know, them saying I could have told you so. But even so, you know, I remember it was about, I think, 5 months clean, I was in my flat, just restless and scared to go out, and just pacing around like a caged animal, you know, Jeremy Kyle on television, and it was just sort of pathetic, really. And I got into a relationship with a newcomer, and you know, I've got no opinion about that stuff, but for me that was a bad move, against my sponsor's advice, I should say, as well. And basically it got so painful because she relapsed, that I'd found myself just thinking I can't bear being clean, and I relapsed, and it was, I thought I'll just control it, I'll just get a little bit of what I like, and not take it in that way, but within 24 hours I was back. I was lying on the bed in my mum's home, with dribble coming down my mouth and blood running down my shoulder, just thinking, how did that happen? After that, I was scared. I was scared shitless. Oh man, I've sworn. I was very scared. And so what I did is I actually got a new sponsor, and that sponsor, there was words like, I've got 5 minutes as well. And there was words like Taliban and Nazi used about that kind of sponsoring, I was scared enough to sort of think, let's just give it a go, really. What have I got to lose? I was told that addiction, it's not about the drugs that you're taking, it's about the obsession of the mind and the physical reaction to drugs. And when I heard that stuff, it made so much sense, because I couldn't sort of explain why, I had doctors telling me, you're going to die, Elliot, but I'd be walking out of hospitals, there were cannulas hanging out of me. I couldn't explain that. And I couldn't explain why, when I'd buy like a big amount of drugs and plan to sort of spread it about, why I just sort of came the whole lot. I couldn't sort of rationally explain that. And when I heard that, it just explained so much. And then they told me about the spiritual part as well, that, addicts tend to sort of have a restless sort of side to them, and drugs sort of fixes that. And that made a lot of sense as well. And I was told that, there was a solution, and that it lies in the steps. And it's a course of rigorous action. Spiritual is practical. And it's been brilliant, my recovery. And I don't like using words like that if I don't mean them. I can say in all honesty, actually, that I don't have a drug problem anymore. I don't obsess about drugs anymore, and I don't put them into me, so I don't crave them anymore. To be able to say that it's a miracle for me, actually, because, I remember the thought of one day clean, just that was a life beyond my wildest dreams, actually, the thought of one day clean. Life can be difficult today. I have a job today, and I've got responsibility. In the last few years in my family, there's been a suicide, there's been a cot death. There's been some pretty heavy stuff happen. I've never thought I need to use drugs because of that. I've got closer to my family than I thought. I hated my mum and dad when I was clean. I blame them for such a lot. I learned through taking inventory and doing it thoroughly I victimised them. My mum and dad nearly split up because of my addiction. They blamed each other, and then they blamed themselves. It's been great. And if there's anyone who's new, what I'll say is, if you relate to that insane feeling where you say to the people that you love, I promise that I'm not going to do that, and you mean it as well, and then you go out and do it. If you relate to that, then I understand what that's like. And my suggestion would be, you know, if you get a sponsor and you work the steps, you know, you don't need to do any more. You know, and there's a wealth of experience in this room tonight, you know, and it can begin today. So I'll be quiet now. I'm still really nervous, but, you know, thank you for letting me speak, and God bless you all. Thanks.